content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Brandy Spergotta for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from Oprah Magazine.
With the care of a sculptor. But 11 months in, life tends to be the opposite. Our good habits fly off in the whirl of finishing up work projects and semesters, shopping for and wrapping presents, and planning family visits and cookie swaps. This year has been a doozy in a long line of doozies, which means it's more important than ever to take a moment for you. We've got some ideas on how to move through to the end of the year with attention, intention, and grace. Nine things to write down before New Year's. Number one, that one really great day. So many days are so not ideal in so many ways, but remember that one really stellar day this year? Perhaps it had elements that can be replicated, like who knew that one of your all-time favorite things was actually as simple as carrying a bunch of helium balloons down the street? What a discovery! Or perhaps it was totally one of a kind, the pure magic of running into a long-lost friend, on a ferry, at golden hour. It's so rare that a moment feels perfect, and that's exactly what makes it worth recording. Not the phone camera snapshot version of recording, but the writing out exactly how it felt version. Number two, the mistake you never want to make. You're having lunch with a former colleague when she sighs and says, "I took this new job because I couldn't resist the prestige, but now I'm realizing how terrible the culture is." That's when you realize you never want to be in that same position. Maybe it's a major whoops you want to avoid, a bad marriage like your sister's, or a smaller matter like watching the horrors at the next table of a first date marred by a mouthful of food talker. Make a note of the mistake, because in the moment, when you're offered a job or when you want to tell your story and chew your steak, maybe you can summon the ability to avoid the life-limiting effects of that bad decision. Number three, what younger you would like about present you. The past few years have not exactly provided most of us with an ideal setting for self-actualization. We've snapped at our families, we've doom-scrolled the hours away, we've lost our ability to wear hard shoes. Or is that just me? Maybe you've lost a job or had to give up a long-awaited trip. It's okay to mourn missed opportunities, big and small, and it's also okay to acknowledge what's still good. What about your life so far has turned out to be bigger, brighter, sparklier than you would have ever imagined? What would make 14-year-old you delighted, if not shocked? Maybe you have the job you never thought attainable, prima ballerina, pilot, heart surgeon. Or maybe you have the greatest kids in the world, or seven cats, or a late discovered but amazing faculty for acquiring new languages. Escribe, por favor. Number four, the go-to recipe of the year. What was the recipe you learned by heart or the old favorite you resurrected? This year, my kids discovered their love for the dead simple noodle casserole of my youth, and it became a weekly dinner staple. It's a meal that I'm sure one day will feel as nostalgic to them as it does to me. Maybe for you, it was the technique you finally mastered. You perfected your pie crust lattice, didn't you? Write it down so you'll never forget the unexpected secret ingredient. As home cooks have known throughout the generations, sometimes a cookbook can actually be autobiography. Number five, a secret you've been keeping from yourself. After 35 years as a journal keeper, I have an intimate, if occasionally legible, record of innermost thoughts I would have long ago forgotten, which is how I know that in my 20s, when I was a year into a major relationship, I already suspected something was wrong, but I worked very hard to convince myself that everything was fine, fine, fine. Years later, I was surprised to rediscover I'd had doubts so early on. We all have things we know but don't say. What's a secret no one would suspect about you? Maybe it's something you hate to admit, even to yourself, or maybe it's something you actually wish people knew. As Martha Beck suggests, ask yourself, does knowing this information make my inner life feel brighter or darker? Number six, that one quote. You know the one, the perfect poem you discovered in your Instagram feed, or the wisdom bomb your BFF dropped casually over coffee. It's the line that made you rethink everything, or maybe you feel thoroughly seen. You know you're going to want to remember it. You also know the odds of forgetting it are not zero. Grab that sticky note. Number 7, the most unexpected compliment you got. We all have the things we're used to getting complimented on. You have such nice teeth, says the 110 billionth person to notice that your orthodontist was a miracle worker. But what unexpected compliment did you get this year? The time a friend said, you know, he's really smart, like you. Or your toddler heard Aretha Franklin singing and wondered aloud if it was you. Store it up for those times when you really need a random boost and the world is not complying. Number 8, your ridiculous niche. What's the one hyper-specific thing people see and think of you? I'm always getting tagged by friends in posts about dresses with pockets. As hashtag personal brands go, I'm into it. Consider what people DM you about and say, thought of you. Wooden ducks, Victorian hair art, Italian teacups. Voila, it's your weird niche interest. This can be an interesting exercise in self-knowledge, a way to see yourself the way others see you. And it can be entertaining for future you. In 10 years, when you're running your wooden duck Etsy shop, it pays the bills, you might like a reminder as to how you got there. Number 9, the tiny promise to yourself. Usually on the hottest, stickiest day of the summer, I would find myself at Coney Island feeling like I was going to pass out from both the heat and the self-flagellation. This year, I made myself a solemn promise. I would not drag myself to the Brooklyn Boardwalk on a 90-degree day. I would remember that I barely liked the beach at all. And this year, when a friend invited me, I was able to say, that's so nice, but I made myself a solemn promise that I would not do this. How about going to the movies instead? We so often manage to do for others and forget all about ourselves. What bite-sized thing did you really, really want to make sure you did or didn't do this year? Great news. Even if you didn't get to it yet, there's still time. Make that promise today. 10 things to learn before the end of the year. Number 1, how to create a joy-inducing bouquet. For advice, we went to June Pignon, floral architect in San Francisco, who teaches flower arranging to 2,000 people a year. Keep your arrangement simple, Pignon says. People tend to put so much stuff in and their house ends up looking like a mafia funeral parlor. Do 10 sunflowers in a cluster. And everyone loves cymbidium orchids, which aren't that expensive and can last for weeks. Or you can also do a monochromatic arrangement of different flowers all together in a bright color. Be creative with your containers. I've done arrangements in a soup tureen, a martini glass. Look in your cupboard. If you're buying flowers from the supermarket, stick with roses. They're the most popular choice, so there's lots of turnover of stock. Just make sure the blossoms are a little bit hard in the center. That means they're still fresh and more likely to open. Number 2, how to have a luxury bath at home. For this one, we went to a former bath concierge who oversaw a staff of 4 who drew 300 baths a year at an upscale Nashville hotel. She says filling the tub is only the beginning of the perfect soak. The ideal temperature for a bath is between 95 and 100 degrees. The best way to test the water is not with your hand, but with your wrist, one of the most sensitive parts of your body. We used aromatherapy baths at the hotel. Lavender is a good scent to soothe and relax if you've had a long week. Eucalyptus is great after a workout or for respiratory relief. Shut the door, dim the lights, and take out the good towels. A 15 to 30 minute soak is ideal. After that, your skin starts wrinkling and the bath gets cold. Number 3, how to avoid wearing wrinkled clothes. Before you buy a garment, squeeze a handful of fabric for 20 seconds. If it looks like an unmade bed, that's how you'll look wearing it, says Kendall Farr, author of The Pocket Stylist. Number 4, how to have more authentic emotional reactions. Learning to manage your reactions more carefully is crucial to self-mastery. First thing in the morning, put 10 pennies in your left pocket. Each time you say or do something other than what you genuinely intended, maybe you softened a response too much or were harsher than you meant to be, transfer 1 penny to your right pocket. Keep practicing to reduce the number of right pocket pennies. Number 5, how to make the most decadent chocolate chip cookies. Alton Brown, chef and former Food Network host, recommends the following tips to make this all-time favorite treat the best that it can be. Include dark milk and semi-sweet chocolate. Otherwise, you'll hit the same flavor notes with every bite and your palate will get bored. For a chewier cookie, try baking with bread flour instead of all-purpose flour. Use room temperature eggs. Cold eggs are hard to work into a batter. Never bake the dough immediately. Instead, scoop it onto cookie sheets and refrigerate. Before you bake, toss the dough in sugar, which will caramelize into a sweet-smelling, crispy crust. Yum! Number 6, how to pace yourself. Singer Bonnie Raitt, who took a 7-year hiatus from the studio before releasing her album Slipstream, once gave us an aha moment for the ages. A life lesson we all need to learn, especially when we're beating ourselves up for not achieving enough. A therapist once told me something that's as true now as when I first heard it, Raitt said. You can only go as fast as the slowest part of you can go. Number 7, how to create a flawless face. Once again, it's your wrist for the win. If you're looking for a new foundation, darting from the beauty counter, where the sample looked great, to the sidewalk, where it looks ghastly, don't put the sample on your face. Instead, try the inside of your arm, which is the shade closest to the lightest area of your complexion. You never want to go any lighter than that, but if you want a little extra color, you can go a shade darker, says Molly R. Stern, a Los Angeles-based makeup artist. Number 8, how to make sure your nail polish lasts. Wait 60 seconds after each coat of polish, including the base coat, before applying the next one. If you don't allow the solvents in the formula to evaporate, the enamel won't set well, which increases the chance of chipping, says Deborah Lippman, celebrity manicurist. Number 9, how to easily track your budget. You can't manage your finances if you don't keep tabs on expenses, but on the list of things to do in life, tracking spending is not at the top. If you regularly use your credit card for day-to-day purchases, says Lauren Likens-Cole, a certified financial planner and personal finance expert, there's a simple solution. Call your credit card company and ask to change the closing date on your account to the first day of the month. Pay your bill in full each month so your starting balance is zero, and you'll have an organized record of your monthly expenses, even without maintaining an overly detailed budget. Number 10, how to mellow out quickly. Inverted yoke positions like downward dog, shoulder stand, or handstand are believed to release tension, increase circulation, and improve strength. If you have glaucoma or heart issues, talk to your doctor first. But what if you aren't skilled in those asanas? Turns out, lying on your back and propping your legs up against a wall can calm you with minimal effort. 7 insanely nice things you can say to anybody. Number 1, take your time, I'm not in a rush. This one is great for the grocery store or the takeout burrito restaurant or anywhere else that involves really tired people trying their best, even as they fumble and flail. For example, the woman in front of you pays the cashier but then has to rifle through her overstuffed wallet to put away the change, then store the receipt, then mash the whole fat leather money accordion into her purse. She will usually complete this action with frantic fingers because she knows she's delaying the whole line. She knows everybody just wants to go home, and she knows she should not save old, mostly used-up gift cards with 63 cents on them. Telling her, take your time, I'm not in a rush, always sets off the same reaction. First, surprise. Really? Because everybody's in a rush. And then a flash of sweet, wide-open relief. You've just given somebody a 3-minute holiday, not from the stress of life, but from the stress we put on ourselves. Number 2, I just can't make this decision without you. Everybody likes to be liked for who they are, but there's a special kind of glow that comes when somebody likes what you think and openly asks for your help in making a decision or in figuring out a messy problem. This may also be another way of expressing that most honored of human emotions, trust. Number 3, you bring me joy, you make me happy. There's ticker tape in most of our brains that spits out these kinds of loving phrases at regular intervals throughout the day. But the phrases themselves don't make it to our mouths because they seem cheesy or we don't know the person well enough or we were raised by people who shook our hands when they really wanted to hug us. Interestingly enough, people don't titter nervously when you say these so-called overused things to them, nor do they run away. They may smile wildly or just slightly, but inside, little Roman candles of happiness are going off. Just say it, and if that's too goofy or embarrassing, text it. Number 4, that's awful. Sometimes the nicest thing you can do is not to ask a bunch of probing, sensitive questions. So what are you really feeling? Shock? Terror? Or try to think of a way you can fix it. Have you looked into natural herbs? Have you called those clinics in Bora Bora? Or to offer to help. I'll drive you. I'll clean your house. I'll make you a lasagna. Or even to apologize over and over, explaining that you know you didn't make the horrible event happen. You're just sorry it happened. Sometimes you need to take you out of it. A person in your life is upset and scared and maybe even in denial. Recognizing what's really happening gives that person the rare and much-needed opportunity to look at this terrible thing with somebody instead of alone. Number 5, you have a genius not understood by mere mortals. This was probably said to Einstein, but you can say it to anybody in those moments, say when you catch your new boyfriend in the shower with his yoga mat. Or you go over to your best friend's house and find her layering her sandwich like this. Ham, cheese, lettuce, onion, ham, cheese, lettuce, onion, ham, cheese, lettuce, onion. We all have these quirky rituals. They're a bit screwball. We usually do them alone, but they save time. For example, rinsing off a yoga mat while you rinse yourself. Or just work better. For example, making 12 individual layers of sandwich filling ensures that you'll get a taste of all the flavors in each bite. Understanding the reasoning behind these private processes and praising the person for them is a moment of respect. You're not saying that you're going to do it at your house, which would be a lie, but you are saying that their idea makes sense. Right in the moment, they most expect to be ridiculed for being a complete kook. Number 6, I am not inviting him to my birthday party. Everyone wants to feel protected, especially when they've been dumped. Offering to full-on hate somebody's ex certainly lets her know you're on her side. But hate is exhausting. It sucks a lot of energy. Plus, it doesn't make rational sense if you've never even met the ex. Instead, follow the kind of loyal, immature path of kindergartners everywhere and declare the offender crossed off your birthday list. It will not only make the injured party laugh, but also create the pleasing fantasy of her drinking champagne and dancing on a table while the dumper sits home in front of the TV, crying over a carton of cold, limp egg foo young. Number 7. I saw what you did and it restored my faith in the human race. Oh, the things people do. The woman who climbs up 2 flights of stairs at the airport, then climbs back down to help an old man with a suitcase. The guy who picks up the public trash can on the corner that fell over. Everybody walking by notices these tiny kindnesses. So few will take the socially risky, even embarrassing step of approaching the complete stranger and thanking them for what they're really doing. Helping us remember that despite the constant headlines, human beings don't just invent Ponzi schemes and burn up the ozone layer. They also offer to share their umbrellas with strangers during pouring thunderstorms, even if it means their backpack might get a little wet. Our next article by the editors is titled Classic Christmas Movies That Will Put You in the Holiday Spirit. It's time to don your finest fuzzy socks, festive sweaters, and matching family pajamas, then hunker down with an enchanting Christmas book. Or if you really want to revel in the spirit of the season, we suggest tuning in to one of these classic Christmas movies steeped in nostalgia. You'll be transported to Merry Christmases from your past with the quick click of a button or two. We've included some black and white favorites like It's a Wonderful Life, Bing Crosby's feel-good musicals of the 40s and 50s, and more than a few versions of Charles Dickens' tales. If it's Christmas set romances you're searching for, then The Holiday, a modern classic, makes for the ultimate follow-up to Love Actually. Seeking family-friendly choices for chilly nights at home with your little loved ones? Look no further. Stream Jingle All the Way, which hits the spot every time. No list of Christmas traditions is complete without a screening of the timeless claymation Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but we've got other animated picks on the list, too. Number 1, Holiday Inn. Set during the World War II era, the movie follows a love triangle that unfurls at a hotel over the holidays. Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire's characters sing their way through various crushes. Irving Berlin wrote 12 original songs for the movie, including the iconic White Christmas, which ended up inspiring a movie of its own in 1954, also starring Crosby. Number 2, White Christmas. Why, there are two snowy Irving Berlin tales that each star Bing Crosby and the General Waverly's Inn, White Christmas 1954 and Holiday Inn 1942, we'll never really know. We just look at it as though it's a gift from Cine Santa and a good reason to queue up a double feature. Our favorite of the two, though, has to be the one where Crosby and Danny Kaye sing and dance to save their inn from closing. Number 3, Christmas in Connecticut. This is a comedy about a food writer, played by Barbara Stanwyck, whose perfectly latticed persona as a housewife with supreme cooking skills gets exposed as the sham over one traditional Christmas she never agreed to host. It's the holiday rom-com you never knew you needed. Number 4, Jingle All the Way. This classic 1996 film will make you grin from ear to ear every year and stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rita Wilson, Sinbad, and Phil Hartman. Workaholic Father Howard, played by Schwarzenegger, constantly lets his family down, but when his young son Jamie, played by Jake Lloyd, begs for a super popular action figure for Christmas, he goes on an epic mission to make his son's dream come true. Number 5, The Shop Around the Corner. You've Got Mail borrowed its tech-age narrative from this 1940 gem about a pair of shop workers whose feud grows with every holiday sale and whose love blooms with every letter of written correspondence. Yep, it's pen pal mystery love all the way with this one. And though there may not be a Santa cameo, it does star the season's other most iconic presence, James Stewart. Number 6, It's a Wonderful Life. Whichever version you choose, Frank Capra's classic is an exercise in depicting the grass is always greener proverb. Although, should you prefer the black and white original, the grass is always grayer might be more appropriate. A seminal holiday classic, it stars James Stewart as a man who gets a glimpse at what life would look like without him. Number 7, Miracle on 34th Street, 1947. Maureen O'Hara and John Payne star in the original film about the time New York City authorities committed a man to a mental facility because he thought it was Santa Claus. And though it can be debated which version of the classic film, this one or the John Hughes contribution starring Mara Wilson, is your favorite, there simply would be no miracle without the George Seton 1947 prototype. Number 8, Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Jim Carrey was the Grinch in the 2000 adaptation of Dr. Seuss's iconic children's book about the ultimate holiday grump. Well, right up there was Scrooge. Don't worry, the green-hued, mountain-dwelling loner's heart ends up growing a size thanks to Cindy Lou Who, played by Taylor Momsen, one of the cheery Whos from Whoville. Number 9, A Christmas Story. If Ralphie Parker didn't rattle off his desire for an official Red Ryder carbine-action 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock and this thing that tells time, did Christmas even happen? It's become an unofficial rule, thanks in part to 24-hour airings on cable networks, that every year we all watch the Bob Clark tale about a kid in the 40s to try and convince Santa to give him a BB gun. Number 10, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Good for little drummers and little drummers at heart, this animated claymation gem is arguably the best of the video craft classics. About a toymaker elf who wants to be a dentist, an illuminated reindeer who wants to be accepted, and all their misfit friends in between, it's iconography of the 1960s that's just as quintessential all these years later. Number 11, The Preacher's Wife. The Preacher's Wife isn't the first Christmas movie to feature an emissary from heaven helping a human with his quest to be a better person, see It's a Wonderful Life, but it is the only version of the story to do so with Denzel Washington and Whitney Houston. Washington plays a heavenly guest who, during his stay on earth helping a preacher, ends up falling for, you guessed it, his wife. Number 12, The Man Who Invented Christmas. If you've already seen every single Christmas Carol adaptation, and there are many, including a few on this list, then check out this movie about the man who created so many Christmas tropes, Charles Dickens himself. Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey plays a successful author as his life intersects with one of his most famous stories,
Number 13, The Holiday. The Holiday is essentially two Nancy Meyers rom-coms for the price of one. Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet play women who decide to swap homes over the holiday season, changing scenery between a gorgeous home in L.A. and a charming English cottage. Under the twinkling lights and dropping temperatures, they each find transatlantic beaus. Number 14, The Polar Express. This whimsical story is best served by the movie's animation style, which brings the cold of the North Pole and the magic of a train headed to the North Pole to life. The Polar Express is based on Chris Van Allsburg's picture book of the same name. Number 15, Scrooged. Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol has been told over and over in Muppet form to dark miniseries on FX. But Scrooged, a satire starring Bill Murray, is one of the most memorable and unique interpretations of the classic morality tale. Bill Murray's version of the troubled protagonist is a crass television executive who has lost his way. A series of over-the-top ghosts help reorient his priorities. Number 16, A Christmas Carol, 1951. Watching the time-honored Charles Dickens classic about a miser who changes his tune after visits from three ghosts is a no-brainer, but choosing which version from an abundance of adaptations can actually make your head hurt. No worries, we got you. If you're after satire, you want the Richard Donner Bill Murray comedy Scrooged. If it's animation you're after, you want Mickey's Christmas Carol. But if you're a stickler for tradition, go with the Brian Desmond Hurst Alastair Sim crowd-pleaser A Christmas Carol. Number 17, Home Alone. The McAllisters head from Chicago to Paris for Christmas, accidentally leaving their 8-year-old troublemaker son at home, where he finds himself defending their 3-story house against a pair of bumbling bandits. It's a film that turned Macaulay Culkin into a household name and John Hughes' box office beast into a household holiday classic. Number 18, Love Actually. We're not sure which part of Richard Curtis's gloriously British Christmas ensemble film we love most. Bill Nighy as a pelvis-swiveling rock star, Colin Firth getting lost in translation, or Hugh Grant cold-knocking on residents' doors to find his one true love. In a romp that is as funny and heartwarming as it is sad and heart-wrenching, Curtis delivers a holiday film that, to us, it is perfect. Number 19, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Though the word vacation appears in the title of this 1989 classic, the only place the Griswolds, led by Patriarch Clark, are going is to Crazy Town. Preparing to host a big family get-together at their home in Chicago, Clark, played by Chevy Chase, and Ellen, played by Beverly D'Angelo, brace for the dysfunction that inevitably comes along with Cousin Eddie, Aunt Bethany, and a Rottweiler named Snots. Number 20, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Snoopy, Lucy, Linus, those iconic Peanuts dance moves. It's beginning to look a lot like a Charlie Brown Christmas. Relive the animated special you grew up watching as your favorite shy and dispirited comic strip character wades through the holiday's trademark commercialism to unearth the true meaning of Christmas. 21, Black Nativity. Warm up those vocal cords before watching Black Nativity, a movie teeming with star power, high notes, and earnest conversations around the meaning of the holiday season. Based on a Langston Hughes play, Black Nativity is about a single mother who travels to New York to be with her estranged relatives, including a reverend and his wife. Cassie Lemons wrote the moving film, which stars Jennifer Hudson, Angela Bassett, Forrest Whitaker, and Jacob Lattimore. 22, Trading Places. Countless holiday movies feature a serendipitous twist, but Trading Places is the only one set in the world of high finance. In the movie, a suave street hustler, played by Murphy, trades places with a preppy commodities broker, played by Dan Aykroyd, on a dare, and ends up having a knack for the job. While not about Christmas per se, the movie is set during the holiday season and is consistently ranked among the best Christmas set comedies. Number 23, The Best Man Holiday. Frequent on-screen couple Taye Diggs and Sanaa Lathan ignite their chemistry for a sequel to Malcolm D. Lee's The Best Man. Now that the rivalry dust has settled between Diggs Harper and Morris Chestnut's Lance, they reunite with the rest of their friend group for one last Christmas before, well, we won't spoil it. We will, however, tease this new edition homage performed by the actors. Number 24, the Santa Claus. Tim Allen dons a bushy beard and big old belly to play the season's most famous man in red. The Santa Claus, note the spelling with an E on the end, tracks the recruitment of a divorcee named Scott Calvin, who haphazardly becomes the next in line to command the mythological world of elves, magic, and toy making. Who's with us in declaring Allen the best Claus in all the candy lands? Number 25, the Family Stone. A double entendre, the Family Stone refers at once to the Stone family at the heart of this dramedy, and also to the engagement ring the brood's matriarch, played by Diane Keaton, is trying to keep off the finger of her son's despicable girlfriend, played by Sarah Jessica Parker. It all makes for a holiday of spilled manners, spousal swapping, and crying sessions. 26. Elf. It's simply not Christmas until Will Ferrell puts on that Kelly Green buddy tunic and frolics through the streets of New York City like a kid in a candy store. As a spirited man-child on a quest to find his estranged biological father, Ferrell stars as Santa's titular helper in the instant classic directed by Jon Favreau and co-starring a blonde-topped Zooey Deschanel. 27. It Happened on Fifth Avenue. Just a few blocks over from that one miracle, another Christmas surprise was going down. A homeless man, his dog, and his friends have taken up residence inside the lavish and often vacated digs that belong to the second richest man in Manhattan. One Christmas, the millionaire's daughter comes home, finds the men in her father's home, and decides to pull a fast one of her own. 28. All I Want for Christmas. This sweet blast from the past isn't pretending to be anything but what it is, a so-sentimental-it's-almost-saccharine story about two O'Fallon siblings hatching an elaborate parent trap over the Christmas holiday to get their family back together. It stars the cherub faces of Ethan Embry and Thora Birch, while Lauren Bacall stars as Grandma and Leslie Nielsen as Mr. Claus. 29. Prancer. He may not have a nose so bright, but Prancer has just as much star power as the most famous reindeer of all. As an injured and abandoned animal, he meets the little girl who will nurse him back to health and, of course, save Christmas for the entire world. Sam Elliott, Cloris Leachman, and Rebecca Harold Tickle take the reins for a classic that may do a number on non-believers. Number 30, Jack Frost. Michael Keaton, who has donned many a character's cloak, a pair of mom jeans, a bio-exorcist striped suit, and the iconic bat mask, tries on snowman for size in this fantasy about a kid whose dad dies and comes back to life as a hockey-playing friend of Frosty. It's actually a heartwarming watch, but be warned. A quarter into the film, tissues are needed for the saddest landslide interlude ever. Number 31, Edward Scissorhands. Nothing says Merry Christmas like a friendly ghoul with a good old scissor grip, right? Leave it to visionary director Tim Burton to turn the holiday season from holly and jolly to strange and unusual with the costumed Johnny Depp as his misunderstood protagonist, of course. The movie, if you don't remember, culminates in one of the prettiest and most thoughtful faux snowstorms we can think of. 32. The Family Man. From highbrow Oscar dramas to lowbrow horror flicks, the filmography of Nicolas Cage runs deep. But rest assured, the actor who has become synonymous with gonzo storytelling is just your everyday family man in this holiday classic. That is after he gets a glimpse at humble suburban life from a magic man charading as a convenience store attendant, played by Don Cheadle. 33. Just Friends. Real-life buddies Ryan Reynolds and Anna Faris join comedic forces for some bi-coastal holiday hoopla. Reynolds' Chris Brander is a hefty Jersey teen who sheds his nerd status in L.A. as a thriving record producer. 10 years later, he heads back to the East Coast to finally get out of the friend zone his high school crush, played by Amy Smart, has confined him to. 34. Christmas with the Cranks. The holiday season is a time of family togetherness and family dysfunction. Christmas with the Cranks is the kind of Christmas classic that was critically panned when it came out in 2004, but has become a holiday staple in the time since. When their daughter leaves the nest and moves abroad, Luther and Nora Crank, played by Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis, decide to skip the holidays. Then their daughter comes home, and they decide to go all out, ASAP. Our next article by Amanda Robb is titled, There's a Coach for That. Have a procrastination problem that isn't solving itself? A friendship that's become trickier? A good job, a good life, but no idea what to do next? Where to find the expert help you need right now? Plenty of things are in short supply these days. Baby formula, aluminum foil. But the U.S. is well stocked with personal coaches. Today, there are about 23,000 coaching practitioners in America, and nearly 50% more life coaches than there were just a decade ago. Many of these are specialized, some very specialized. So how are you supposed to pick a coach who can solve your exact issue? We asked 7 to tell us. While they each had specific advice, they all agreed on one thing. Coaches are not psychotherapists who work in an open-ended way on personal mental health and emotional healing. Coaches focus on setting and achieving specific personal goals on a strategic timeline, which might be exactly what you need if you find yourself in one of the following situations. When you're very, very stuck, who might help? A life coach. What they do. They should get you to a high level of satisfaction and performance in your life in 2 areas. How you feel on the inside and what you're contributing to the world around you, says life coach Martha Beck, author of The Way of Integrity, Finding the Path to Your True Self, and host of the podcast Bewildered. What they don't do. Boss you around or give you some pre-prepared recipe for what you should do. How much it will cost. More or less what a psychotherapist with a master's degree charges in your area. How to find a good one. Be aware that anyone can hang a shingle and say, I'm a life coach, so there are different levels of quality, says Beck. She adds that being a certified coach doesn't guarantee that someone is good either. There are several organizations that certify life coaches, but their quality varies, she explains. Beck thinks the gold standard among them are coach training programs accredited by the International Coaching Federation. Its website has a Find a Coach function and is a good place to start your search. When you find a few coaches who meet your criteria for location, price, background, and experience, Beck suggests investigating their personal website and social media posts. Pick one who uses words and images that make you feel drawn to them. Then, Beck strongly recommends asking for a free sample session. When to expect a positive change? A good life coach is often able to talk to someone for a single session and have the client see a change in their life for the better, says Beck, who clarifies that it might not be a huge change, but instead a noticeable shift in perspective. In most cases, Beck says, a life coach should get you through whatever issue brought you into coaching within 3 months. If they are not having a really strong impact in your life, that is, helping you get much closer to those high levels of satisfaction and performance Beck described above, within 1 month, find someone else. Free advice. Like a lot of us, many of Beck's clients try to solve their own dissatisfaction before coming to see her, often by going after more recognition, accomplishments, or money. Those are all wonderful things, she says, but if you stick them onto your life without changing what's happening on the inside, you'll repeat the same patterns over and over again. The directions for the life you are meant to be living are inside you. When your job is bananas, who might help? A career coach or a career counselor. What they do? They tend to take a pragmatic, present action, goal-setting approach to helping someone go through a career change, says Sharon Belden Kestangwe, Ed D., a career counselor in Middletown, Connecticut, who serves as executive director of the Gordon Career Center at Wesleyan University. Coaches can help you determine a search process, develop a personal brand, and expand your network. What they don't do. Delve into your past work history or diagnose where you run into problems in your career before. They also don't work on leadership issues. An executive coach does that. When to reach out. Kestangwe recommends working with a career coach or career counselor at 6 specific times in your work life. When you're finishing school and starting your professional life. When you haven't looked for a job in a long time but want to now. When you are looking to make a career pivot. When you are unhappy or stagnating in your career and don't know why. When you need advice on how to navigate a specific situation at work, salary, relationships with boss, etc. Or when you lose your job. That last one, a job loss, is the big one, says Kestangwe.
If you find yourself in that position, it's well worth the investment to have at least one meeting with a career counselor or coach to make sure you have your professional narratives and your job search strategy in place before you start applying for new positions. How to find a good one. If you went to college, start with your school's career services office. Many offer free or very inexpensive coaching to alumni, says Castanguay. If you want to hire someone privately, look for a background in psychology, organizational behavior, or human resources. Steer away from anyone who just left a completely different field. How much will it cost? There's a wide range, from free at universities to hundreds of dollars a session. Castanguay, who accepts new clients by only referral, charges private clients $250 for a one-hour session. How many sessions you will need? Usually 1 to 3. Free advice. Put a specific personal interest on your resume. Castanguay had a client looking for a job on Wall Street. In addition to his financial bona fides, he put on his resume that he was the head of a national association for carnivorous plant enthusiasts. Every interview started out with someone asking him about that, and he ended up with a great job, says Castanguay. When you're feeling meh, who might help? A health coach. What they do? They teach you how to exercise and eat in a way that makes you happier with your appearance and physical wellness, and hold you accountable for both, says Arturo Pacas, a certified fitness coach and certified nutrition specialist. Pacas owns AP Transform Fitness and works for Homebodies, a personal training service in New York City. What they don't do? Put you on a diet or any kind of meal plan, or make you do extreme workouts. The way we eat is a habit. The way we exercise or don't is a habit, Pacas says. The way you change habits forever is by changing one small thing at a time. When to reach out. When you decide to finally give up the roller coaster of some Hollywood diet, shakes, raw food, whatever, and start stop exercising habits, Pacas says. How much will it cost? Generally, the range is from $50 for new trainers and up. Pacas charges $100 to $150 per session. But I've been doing this a long time, and I live and work in an expensive area, he says. How to find a good one. Pacas strongly recommends working only with a certified fitness coach, a personal trainer, and a certified nutritionist. He says that to get healthy and maintain wellness and achieve the weight and muscle tone appropriate for you, you'll have to learn to eat and exercise in ways that don't just work in general, but work specifically for you. For example, if you're a person who lives on to-go food, I'm not going to tell you to start cooking all your meals, Pacas says. I'm going to recommend you stay away from fast food restaurants and go to deli-type places instead. I'm going to encourage you to go for lean meat sandwiches with oil and vinegar instead of mayonnaise. If you must have mayonnaise, I'll suggest light mayo. If Pacas has a client who's been completely sedentary, he won't expect them to hit the gym every day. He'll ask the client to start walking to work. If a person has to drive, Pacas will recommend parking as far away from the entrance of the building as possible, and once inside, taking the stairs instead of the elevator. Most common health mistakes people make. There are two, Pacas says. They sign up for some extreme exercise program around New Year's, but because they haven't built up to it, its endurance or strength as a habit, they quit pretty quickly. Also, a lot of people eat prepared salads they tell themselves are healthful because they're salads, but which probably have little or no protein in them and are drenched in high-calorie, high-fat, no-nutrition dressing. Free advice. If you work in an office, just switching to a standing desk is going to make you healthier, Pacas says. You will be activating muscles, moving around a bit, and not compressing your lower back, gluteal muscles, and hamstrings. In one afternoon, you'll burn about twice as many calories as you would sitting at a desk. When you just can't get started, who might help? A procrastination coach. What they do? Help people figure out what they, and not anyone or anything else, are doing to cause the slowdown in their work or lives and the misery that accompanies that, says Christine Lee, PhD, a clinical psychologist and procrastination coach in New York. Then you and your coach work together to fix whatever is causing the procrastination. What they don't do? Punitive programs, like if you don't finish, you'll donate to a cause you abhor or you'll give up dessert for a week. When to reach out. When you're feeling depleted, frustrated, like there's never enough time and you aren't getting stuff done, Lee says.
when pressure is mounting that actually endangers your career status or position within your profession, when you are in pain, or when you're just fed up? How much will it cost? There's a large range, not only in price, but in offerings, Lee says. There's one-on-one coaching, group classes, coach-led support groups, group sprints, and memberships that combine some or all of the above, plus work sprints. Lee offers one-on-one coaching for $400 an hour. She also has a monthly membership program that costs $59 a month and group coaching programs ranging from $500 to $1,000. How to find a good one? Lee is a clinical psychologist and says you should find someone who seems credible to you, someone to whom you feel a connection. For some people, that starts with letters behind a name. For others, it starts with popularity on social media. In addition to the connection, Lee says, you want to pick someone whose communication framework works for you. Do you want to work every week or less often? Do you want to work by Zoom or text? Do you want the coach to be very directive and instructive or more interactive? The most important thing is that you feel that you can establish a trusting relationship with the person. Some facts. Procrastination is not a character trait or character defect, Lee says. It is a habit, but not a habit of laziness. Usually, it's a habit of fear, of hurtful self-beliefs and old, incorrect stories that maybe were told to you and now you tell yourself. Often, it's a habit that starts because you're trying to protect yourself. Unfortunately, the habit winds up disabling you, Lee says. Some comfort. Society makes changing habits sound really hard, like something that takes a ton of willpower. That's not true, Lee says. We change habits all the time. They get old and disintegrate and get replaced all the time. Your belief about yourself is just another habit. Free advice. Habits are formed with three components: the trigger, the routine, and the result. If you change one of those things, the habit will change. When a friendship goes sideways, who might help? A friendship coach. What they do? They equip people with tangible strategies to create and maintain better platonic relationships, says Danielle Bayard Jackson, founder of Friend Forward, a friendship coaching company based in Tampa. What they don't do? Introduce you to people like a matchmaker might, or counsel friends in crisis like a marriage therapist would. When to reach out? Jackson describes four situations in which a friendship coach can be helpful. When you find yourself ruminating on an issue you are having with a particular friend and see no way out. When you've moved and have to make new friends. When you're trying to decide whether to have a really difficult conversation with a friend, and if so, how to do it. When you're experiencing the pain of needing to let a friendship go. How to find a good one. It's a new field and there isn't accreditation required or even specific training available to become a friendship coach. Start by Googling friendship coach, says Jackson. Look for someone whose values jibe with yours and who says things you find insightful. Consider a coach with experience related to the issue you are having. If you're having difficulty with a workplace relationship, maybe look for someone with a human resources background. If your issue is with your mom's group, a coach who has dealt with female friendships might be helpful. Jackson herself started her career as a high school teacher. Girls would come to me with their friendship drama. Now I realize I was coaching them through it. After you've identified a few coaches, Jackson suggests calling and interviewing them. Ask how they would begin to handle the issue you were dealing with. Even ask to speak to a former client, one the coach helped through an issue similar to yours. How much will it cost? A 75-minute one-on-one session with Jackson is $189. She also offers a 2-month course, How to Make Friends as an Adult, for $267. How long will it take? If someone wants to work on a single issue, a one-on-one session is often enough, Jackson says. People facing extensive, recurring, or very complex friendship problems may see her for multiple sessions. Most common misconception. Many people think friendships aren't that important, that they matter less than a spouse or a family. But the latest census data shows that nearly half of all adult Americans are single. Furthermore, a recent study published in the journal Personal Relationships found that in old age, having high-quality friendships was a better predictor of well-being than having strong family connections. That's why addressing problems in friendships can be just as critical as tackling ones in romantic relationships, and why a breakup with a friend can be just as painful. Most common issue.
Everyone, and I mean everyone, is afraid of rejection, Jackson says. Free advice. Don't try to speed date an acquaintance into a friend, Jackson says. Research suggests that it takes more than 200 hours to make a best friend. When your money isn't serving your life. Who might help? A financial coach. What they do. They work from a behavioral standpoint to help people deal with their financial issues and achieve their economic goals, says Stephanie Vaught, founder of Social Money Finance, a Detroit-based financial coaching company. That can involve everything from triage, getting things under financial control in a crisis, such as losing a job or a home, to educating you about the pros and cons of different savings and investment options, or figuring out how, monetarily and emotionally, to take the leap from a salary job to entrepreneurship. What they don't do. Negotiate with your creditors. Credit counseling services do that. Choose how you invest your money or invest it for you. Financial advisors do that. Or give you a one-size-fits-all formula for budgeting. Thousands of websites and self-help books do that. How to find a good one. Compared to other coaching specialists, Vaught says that financial coaching is an established field, and she believes many of the training organizations are very good, so she recommends starting your search by just Googling financial coach. Examine the coach's work histories and certifications, as well as their websites, social media, and YouTube videos. You'll find a few that just speak to you, Vaught says, maybe because of their specialty, Vaught's is Gen X women, maybe because of their approach. Meet with a couple of coaches for a free personal intro. Vaught schedules a 20-minute consultation for prospective clients. After researching and discussions, choose the one who seems to most understand what's blocking you from what you want. How much will it cost? Vaught offers a coaching membership for $188 a month, which includes classes, coaching, and community. She also offers more individualized sessions if needed. How long it will take? The majority of Vaught's clients work with her for about 3 months, though not every week, and the maximum is roughly 12 months. Most common issue. I thought I'd be further along, financially and professionally, by now, is the upshot of why most people come to Vaught. 90% of the time, the conversation with a new client starts out the same, says Vaught. I followed all the rules. I went to school, got the job, kept my head down, and worked and worked and worked. I thought everything would be okay. But then came the Great Recession, COVID-19, and technology disruption after technology disruption. Many of her clients have had to reinvent themselves professionally, sometimes a few times over, and others had to become entrepreneurs because they couldn't find full-time jobs. A coach can help you through these types of tough transitions in terms of managing both your money and your mindset, often helping you redefine professional success. Free advice. Remember, Vaught says, that you are coming to talk to a coach about money and about your future and your family's future, and that is all tied to raw emotion. So you want to work with someone you are going to be comfortable discussing strong feelings with as inevitable money hiccups come up. When you've lost that loving feeling, who might help? A sex coach. What they do. In an all-talk way, sex coaching takes clients, individuals, couples, polyamorous groups, from sexual dissatisfaction towards sexual wholeness, sexual wellness, attaining their sexual goals, and being fulfilled as sexual beings, says Patty Britton, PhD, a Beverly Hills-based clinical sexologist and sex coach. Britton has a talk-based approach and teaches it in her sex coach training. What they don't do. Touch you. A surrogate partner therapist does that. Use a medical model, including using drugs to increase arousal, a physician does that, or probe your past and your problems, besides your sexual ones, of course, a psychotherapist does that. When to reach out. When sex isn't working, says Britton, that can be defined in many ways. When you feel some pain about your sex life or that it is lacking at an emotional, spiritual, energetic, and physical level. How much will it cost? That depends a lot on where you live. Britton, who has decades of experience, charges $375 an hour, but she thinks $150 an hour is about average. She also points out that a lot of sex coaching is done via Zoom now, so if you live in a pricey area, you could hire a coach who works from a less expensive one. How to find a good one. Look for a certified sex coach. You can find one in all kinds through the World Association of Sex Coaches.
How long will it take? Britain usually sees individuals or couples for 8 sessions. Most common issues. For cisgender females, a lot of their sexual unhappiness stems from body issues, Britain says. It's not a huge surprise that if you hate your body, it's going to be pretty hard to relax and let go and be sexual. For couples, the number one issue is a sexless relationship. The original definition of a sexless couple is a couple that connects sexually less than 6 times a year, but the definition is more fluid today, Britain says. Most couples who see me haven't had sex in 2 to 5 years. She also sees clients who want to open up their monogamous primary relationship to ethical or consensual monogamy. Surprisingly tough issue for even a sex coach to help fix. Couples whose relationship started as best friends. They come in because there is no spark between them, and they rightly want that, Britain says. But it's difficult to create what was never there. Free advice. If you're interested in exploring BDSM and kinks, you are not alone. Britain believes it's good to talk about, in part, because it brings the excitement of variety into the bedroom. We'll end this week with quotes that inspire happiness. No matter what, nobody can take away the dances you've already had. Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Our physical, emotional, and spiritual health requires rest. We need to take a break. Dana Arcuri. SM and kinks, you are not alone. Britain believes it's good to talk about, in part, because it brings the excitement of variety into the bedroom. We'll end this week with quotes that inspire happiness. No matter what, nobody can take away the dances you've already had. Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Our physical, emotional, and spiritual health requires rest. We need to take a break. Dana Arcuri. We have run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Brandi Spragata, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Oprah Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.